Cassette 1, Side 2.
Chapter 3. Takata Jim. High in the port quarter of Streaker's spherical control room, a psi operator thrashed in her harness. Her flukes made a turmoil of the water, and she cried out in trinary, "The inky, eight-armed squid heads find us! Ripping pods of them do battle!" The operator's report confirmed the discovery made by Neutrino Sensor moments before. It was a litany of bad news, related in transverse. "They scream and lust to win and capture." From another station came a calmer bulletin in dolphin-accented Anglic. "We're getting heavy graviton traffic, Vice Captain Takata Jim. Gravitational disturbances confirm a major battle is forming up, not far from the planet." The executive officer of the Streaker listened quietly, letting himself drift sideways in the circulating currents of the command center. A stream of bubbles emerged from his blowhole as he inhaled some of the special fluid that filled the ship's bridge.
"Acknowledged," he said at last.
Underwater, his voice was a muted buzz. The consonants came out slurred.
"How far away is the nearest contact?"
5 AU, sir. They couldn't get here for at least an hour, even if they came hell-bent."
Very well, then. Remain in condition yellow. Continue your observations, Akia Kamai."
The vice-captain was unusually large for a neo-fin, thick-bodied and muscular, where most of the others were sleek and narrow. His uneven gray coloring and jagged teeth were marks of the Stenos subracial line, setting him and a number of others apart from the Tersiops majority. The human next to Takata Jim was impassive as the bad news came. It only confirmed what they had feared.
"We had better inform the captain, then," Ignacio Metz said.
The words were amplified by his face mask into the fizzing water. Bubbles floated away from the tall human's sparse gray hair.
"I warned Krydike this would happen if we tried eluding the Galactics. I only hope he decides to be reasonable now that escapes become impossible."
Takata Jim opened and closed his food mouth diagonally, an emphatic nod.
"Yes, Dr. Metz. Now even Krydike must recognize that you were right. We're cornered now, and the captain will have no choice but to listen to you."
Metz nodded, gratified.
"What about Hikahi's team? Have they been told?"
"I've already ordered the prospecting party back. Even the sled might be too much of a risk. If the ETs are already in orbit, they might have means to detect it."
"Extraterrestrials," Metz corrected, professorial. "The term ET is hardly polite." Takata Jim kept an impassive face. He was in command of ship and crew, while the captain was off watch. Yet the human treated him like a fresh-weaned pupil. It was irritating, but Takata Jim was careful never to let it show.
"Yes, Dr. Metz."
"Hikai's party should never have left the ship. I warned Tom Orley something like this might happen. Young Toshio's out there. And all those crewmen out of contact for so long, it would be terrible if anything happened to them."
The human was probably thinking about how terrible it would be if any of Streaker's crew got killed away from his sight, out where he was unable to judge how they behaved for his behavioral and genetic studies.
"If only Krydike had listened to you, sir," he repeated. "You always have so much to say."
It was chancy, but if the human ever saw through Takata Jim's respectful mask to the core of sarcasm, he never gave it away.
"Well, nice of you to say so, Takata Jim. I know you have things to do now, so I'll find Krydike and break the news that our pursuers have followed us to Kithrop."
Takata Jim gave the human a deferential nod from high body stance.
That is kind of you, Dr. Metz.
Metz patted the lieutenant on his rough flank, as if to reassure him. Takata Jim bore the patronizing gesture with outward calm and watched as the human turned to swim away. The bridge was a fluid-filled sphere which bulged slightly from the bow of the cylindrical ship. The main ports looked into a murky scene of ocean ridges, sediment, and drifting sea creatures. The crew's web-lined workstations were illuminated by small spotlights. Most of the chamber lay in quiet shadows as elite bridge personnel carried out their tasks quickly and almost silently. The only sounds, other than the swish and fizz of recycling oxy-water, were the intermittent click of sonar pulses and terse professional comments from one operator to another. Give Krydike his due, Takata Jim told himself. He has crafted a finely tuned machine in this bridge crew. Of course, dolphins were less consistent than humans. You couldn't tell in advance what might cause a neofin to start unraveling until you saw him perform under stress. This bridge crew performed as well as any he had ever seen. But would it be enough? If they had overlooked a single radiation or psi leak, the ETs would be down on them quicker than orcas upon harbor seals. The fins out there in the prospecting team were safer than their comrades aboard ship, Takata Jim thought somewhat bitterly. Metz was a fool to worry about them. They were probably having a wonderful time. Takata Jim tried to recall swimming free in an ocean, without a harness and breathing natural air. He tried to recall diving in deep water, the deep water of the Stenos, where big-mouthed, smart-aleck, shore-hugging tersiops were rare as dugongs.
Aki, he called to the ELF radio operator, the young dolphin midshipman from Calafia. Have you received confirmation from Hikahi? Did she get the recall?
The Colonial was a small tersiops variant of yellowish-gray coloration. Aki replied with some hesitation. He still wasn't used to breathing and speaking in oxywater. It required a very odd dialect of underwater Anglic.
I'm... sorry, Vice Captain, there's no reply. I checked for a monopulse on all... channels. There's been nothing.
Takata Jim tossed his head in irritation. Hikahi might have decided that even a monopulse reply would be too much risk. Still, confirmation would have taken from his back an unpleasant decision.
Sir?
Aki tipped his head down and lowered his tail in respect.
Yes? Shouldn't we repeat the message? There's a chance they were distracted and missed it the first time.
Like all dolphins from the colony planet Calafia, Aki was proud of his cultured Anglic. It apparently bothered him to have trouble with such simple sentences. That suited the vice captain fine. If there was one Anglic word that translated perfectly into trinary, it was smartass. Takata Jim didn't care for smartass midshipmen.
No, comm operator, we have our orders. If the captain wants to try again when he gets here, he's welcome. Meantime, attend your post.
Aye, sure.
The young dolphin spun about to return to his station, where he could breathe from an air dome instead of gulping water like a fish. There he could speak like a normal person while he awaited word from his closest friend, the human Midi, out in the wide alien ocean. Takata Jim wished the captain would come soon. The control room felt closed and dead. Breathing the fizzing, gas-charged oxy-water always left him tired at the end of his shift. It never seemed to provide enough oxygen. His supplementary gill lungs itched with the irritation of defied instinct, and the pills, the ones that forced extra oxygen into his system through his intestines,